And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of The Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today. I'm coming to you from a remote location in Manchester, New Hampshire today. And I'm going to have a guest on a little later to talk about exactly why I'm here. But I am your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson, here on American Family Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support, for everything that you all do to make this network so successful. The number here is 888-589-8840. I won't be taking calls at this moment, but make a note of it. Have it handy, because I'm sure you're going to want to use it before the program is over. Folks, today I've got to get right to it, okay? Right to it. Nancy Pelosi, yesterday, a little bit before 5 o'clock, declared that she would now be beginning formal impeachment inquiries into the President of the United States for purposes of drafting articles of impeachment for reference or referral to the United States Senate for the possible trial and conviction of President Donald J. Trump. Now, folks, this is really, I don't want to make more of this than there is, because there's no evidence of any nature whatsoever that this president ought to be impeached. But this is still a dark day in America, and I'll tell you why. It is a dark day in America because I really believe this, folks. The Democrat Party has gone so far off the rails, so far from our Constitution, so far from our democratic ideals as a nation, that they will do almost anything, including subvert our republic, to get their way, to get absolute power and control over everything and everybody. And the chief obstacle in their path right now is President Trump, and they want to get this man in the worst possible way, so much so that they will jump the gun and start having impeachment hearings for a matter that they didn't even have any evidence or facts on yet. All they had, as of yesterday, was an allegation by a so-called whistleblower who apparently the inspector general thought had a political bias against the president. Now we know that at best this person had secondhand information about the conversation that took place between President Trump and the president of Ukraine. At best, second, maybe third-hand information. He was not in on the call. He was not listening in on the call. He does not know what was said by any first-hand information. All he had was second or third-hand information, and with that, and that alone, Nancy Pelosi decides it is time to bring an inquiry of impeachment against the President of the United States. I mean, folks, this is insane. This is evil. This undermines our constitutional republic. Now, let me tell you why. Because I really believe that just like Russian collusion had nothing to do with Russia or with collusion, that long, expensive, multi-million-dollar investigation that was, as President Trump rightly defines it and describes it, a witch hunt. After all of that, absolutely no proof whatsoever that the president had done anything wrong. And yet they spent millions of taxpayer dollars, took up probably hundreds of thousands of federal man hours that could have been used doing something productive to come up ultimately with a complete exoneration of the president. They say it's not an exoneration. It was an exoneration, folks. because our president did not collude with anybody to try in any way to subvert or change or alter the outcome of the election. The man was exonerated. And this bogus obstruction of justice charge is just that, because what they wanted to do was somehow claim he was obstructing justice, even though he was the victim of injustice and had done nothing wrong, and his failure to cooperate in every way that they demanded was somehow an obstruction of justice. Obstruction of what? There was nothing to hide. He was trying to protect the prerogatives of the presidency, not trying to hide anything, because he had nothing to hide. Now, with nothing but a blatant allegation, and the transcript has been released. I have not read the transcript, but I've heard enough analysis of it and quotes from it to know there absolutely was no quid pro quo. There was no pressure on the prime minister of Ukraine. He didn't claim there was. He didn't express any in the transcript of the conversation. And they're going to impeach him for this? This is not about the president's wrongdoing or allegations concerning that. This is about wanting to overthrow the outcome of a lawfully held election in which the people of the United States voted Donald Trump in as president. These leftists didn't like it then. They don't like it now. They don't have enough respect for our Constitution or our electoral system or the people who voted for the president to leave it at that and understand that this man was duly elected. No. They want to spit in the eye of the 65 million Americans who voted for him and say, you idiots don't matter. The only thing that matters is we elites, and we know what's best, and we're going to get rid of this president whether you like it or not, whether you voted for him or not. Now, folks, that's what this really comes down to. And that's what makes this whole thing so dangerous. Because look, when the elections don't matter, when the people go out and vote and speak, but the election doesn't matter, these leftists care so little about our Democrat process, our democratic process, and our constitutional principles. They care so little that they're willing to trample on those and trample on the American people who voted in that election. Where are we? I'll tell you where we are, folks. We are in a situation in which the Democrat Party has become wholly totalitarian, wholly Marxist, socialist, and communist. I mean, there's just no other way to describe this. They're behaving like third world banana republic operators rather than like duly elected people in a constitutional republic. And let me just say, folks, I want you all to understand, there's no hint of hypocrisy in what I'm saying for this reason. I never thought that somehow we should undo the election that elected President Barack Obama, and I didn't agree with almost anything the man ever said, spoke, or did. But he was the president of the United States, elected by the people. I thought it was a mistake, and I became part of the loyal opposition opposing him on the basis of his policies, not his legitimacy as president of the United States. And I dare say most conservatives treated it the same way. Even though we may have had some misgivings, we treated it the same way. But these leftists don't have the same moral compunctions. They don't have the same respect for our Constitution. So as we're concerned, we don't matter. The empty-headed masses don't matter. Only they matter. And folks, this is subversive. This is seditious. This is an absolute attempt to shred the Constitution of the United States. The very thing they claim President Trump is doing, they are themselves doing. Folks, I've got a guest who'll be with me at the end, after the break, to talk about why this is happening. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The recent drone attack on the Saudi Arabian oil processing plant raises lots of questions that our leaders will need to answer quickly. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo declared that it was an act of war by Iran, but confirming the link and deciding how to respond are just a few of the questions that need to be answered. The drone attack temporarily cut off an estimated 5% of the world's oil supply. President Trump authorized the release of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve if needed. It may not be needed since the U.S. is much closer to energy independence than it was in the past. Those of us who are older remember the oil shocks of the past. One of my co-hosts, who was born in the 1980s, only read about what it was like in the 1970s with the oil embargo and gas lines that sometimes spread for a mile. A few economists and government officials estimated that the U.S. and a few others could absorb the loss of Saudi oil production. How different it is today compared to a few decades ago. The drone attack on the oil plant also illustrated what could happen in this country to our energy grid or oil production facilities. The president did issue an executive order last March requiring federal agencies to assess and fix vulnerabilities of our electric grid. It might collapse by design through a foreign adversary like Iran, or by accident through naturally occurring phenomenon. Frank Gaffney of the Center for Security Policy laments that some bureaucrats in the deep state don't seem very serious about studying and fixing the vulnerabilities of the U.S. energy grid. One bureaucrat in Homeland Security argued that the risk of electromagnetic pulses taking down the electric grid is overestimated. Frank Gaffney has a ready response. Want to bet? Think Saudi Arabia. The drone attack should be a wake-up call to get moving on protecting our energy grid. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. We'll jump into the Wayback Machine and listen to Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden warn us about impeachment in 1998. President Trump said many great things at the UN yesterday, but dropped one clunker. And I've got your scientific consensus on global warming from 500 of the top scientists and climate experts on the planet. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Folks, the Obama administration had the IRS scandal, the Benghazi scandal, the Fast and Furious scandal. And by the way, the Benghazi and Fast and Furious scandal involved the loss of American lives. The Iran scandal, in which in the middle of the night, over $1 billion in cash shuttled off to Iran, which is financing their belligerence to this day. The IRS scandal, which conservatives were harassed and denied their First Amendment rights, and in some cases driven out of business by an administration which was committed to using the Internal Revenue Service as a political weapon. And yet, folks, I did not hear one whisper of impeachment. President Donald Trump makes a phone call to the Ukraine president, and they have a conversation, the transcript of which is now released, showing absolutely nothing wrong, nothing even untoward in that conversation. And Nancy Pelosi is calling for formal impeachment inquiries. Why is that? Well, my guest is going to help us answer that question. He and I are together in New Hampshire right now doing a tour sponsored by the 603 Alliance, a coalition of conservative groups that has brought us into New Hampshire. We're doing a tour of New Hampshire. We're in Manchester right now. Trevor is a New Zealand author. He's a speaker, political activist. He's the author of two books, You on U.S. Politics, Barack Obama and the Enemies Within, and the Enemies Within, Communists, Socialists, and Progressives in the United States Congress. And that was made... Am I still... Yes, I'm still with you, aren't I? Okay, good. Sorry about that, folks. But that was made into a documentary in 2016 titled The Enemies Within. Well, assuming that we're okay, I keep hearing something in my ears, but assuming we're okay. Trevor, are you there? Okay. All right. Well, we'll get Trevor back. But folks, Trevor and I are going to talk about what's behind all of this craziness, what's behind the utter insanity that we are now witnessing in the Democrat Party, in the Congress of the United States. Trevor, you there?
Yes.
Trevor? All right, Trevor,
yes,
welcome.
I am.
All right, Trevor, you're not on speakerphone, are you?
No.
Oh, okay, all right, I'm hearing a little echo. Okay, well, Trevor, I've already introduced you. Thanks for joining me. I was telling people that you and I are together here in New Hampshire. But before we get into that, Trevor, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you got into writing and researching and investigating the, shall we say, the infiltration of Marxism and communism and socialism into American politics and culture.
Yeah, well, as people may guess from my accent, I'm not from here. I'm from New Zealand in the South Pacific. And we had a lot of trouble with the communists down there. They basically destroyed our military alliance with the United States. And I did a lot of research on how they worked, and I interviewed former communist and intelligence personnel and built up a picture of how they worked. But they all told me that the main enemy was the United States. That was the real target. So I investigated American politics. I discovered the links between Barack Obama and the Hawaiian Communist Party member, Frank Marshall Davis. I started publishing a lot of articles from New Zealand, and Glenn Beck used a lot of them on his chalkboard. I helped to expose Van Jones. I did expose the communist Van Jones, Obama's green job czar, and he was kicked out of the White House. And I just started getting invited to conferences in the United States, and to the point that I now live here. But my main thing is my focus is on the radical left and how they basically run and influence the Democratic Party. And I've written several books and produced four documentaries, including The Enemies Within, which you can get on Amazon, and that details the communist and Islamic infiltration of the U.S. Congress and the U.S. Senate. So that's sort of it in a nutshell.
Well, Trevor, it's interesting. You say when you interviewed the communists, they told you that America is the enemy. And now you're living in this country and you're dealing with the influence of communism in various aspects of our country. And you and I are in New Hampshire talking about this subject right now. Would it be fair to say the same thing, that there are people in our country who somehow really view America, at least as a free nation, as the enemy?
Yeah, well, the communists, who have never gone away, they believe that the only reason communism failed in Russia, in Cuba, in Venezuela, is because America sabotaged it. America drove them into bankruptcy. So to have worldwide socialism or communism, you need to bring America down to... You need to destroy America's power, make America just another branch of the world superstate. So, yeah, and those people have very effectively infiltrated the Democratic Party. So now you have a Democrat Party, the mainstream political party in this country, that is promoting complete communist policy in every way, from the nuclear deal with Iran to $15 an hour minimum wage to promoting Black Lives Matter and illegal immigration amnesty, supporting the Women's March. All of those are communist operations. All of them come out of the Communist Party USA or or their friends and Democratic Socialists of America. Green job, you know, the Green New Deal, Medicare for all of those are communist programs, every single one of them.
Yeah, before you came on, I pointed out that even the complete disrespect and disregard for the legitimately held election of 2016, they are trying, I think that's what all this impeachment stuff is all about. It's really all about trying to undo a legitimate election and trying to overthrow a legitimate president, which of course is a communist move, you know, get rid of the legitimate constitutional power and replace it with something else. I'm not sure what that something else is, but the candidates running for president seek to replace President Trump. I know you've done a lot of research on them too, Trevor. Tell us a little bit about some of the candidates who are seeking to replace President Trump as commander-in-chief.
So what I said in my movie, Enemies Within, is there are about 100 members of the U.S. House and 25 members of the U.S. Senate, that's a quarter of each body, who are so involved with the Cubans, the Chinese, the Iranians, or local communist movements, like the Communist Party USA and Democratic Socialists of America. They couldn't pass a background check, a security background check, to drive a school bus. But there are no background checks in Congress. There are no background checks in the U.S. Senate. So what your enemies have done is put their friends into your Senate. Now, if you look at the top five Democratic contenders, you know, Joe Biden, the so-called moderate Joe, you know, he has been working with a group called the Council for a Livable World since the 1970s, right up till a couple of years ago. And that was set up by a known Soviet agent to put pressure on the U.S. government to disarm the U.S. military, especially in the nuclear field, to the benefit of Russia. You know, Joe Biden has worked to the benefit of the Soviet Union, now Russia, and China, his entire political career. Pete Buttigieg, the mayor from South Bend, Indiana, his father was a top Marxist professor, the president of the World Gramsci Society. And Gramsci was an Italian Communist Party theoretician who believed in revolution through infiltration. And he is the guiding voice of today's modern communist movement. And Pete Buttigieg has worked with Democratic Socialists of America, a Marxist group, his entire career, still is. And you keep going. Elizabeth Warren is heavily involved with Democratic Socialists of America and the pro-Chinese Freedom Road Socialist Organization, and Bernie Sanders, you know, he's been working, he's not a Democratic Socialist, he is a full-on communist, but he's been working with the Communist Party USA and Democratic Socialists of America, with the Nicaraguans, the Cubans. He honeymooned in the Soviet Union during the Cold War. His whole campaign is completely run by communists. And Kamala Harris is a similar thing. Every one of the five leading contenders has a Marxist background, every single one of them.
And look, these people want to become the leaders of the quote-unquote free world, and yet they don't seem to have an appreciation for freedom. They seem to want absolute control. How do you think they're going to do that? Who do you think is going to emerge to carry the banner in a way that convinces the American people that, oh, yeah, this is the person who can help us? Trevor, I've got to take a break. You can probably hear the music. And when we come back, let's tackle that question, then talk a little bit about what we're doing here in New Hampshire. Folks, you're listening to The Awakening. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Flying is a frightening experience for some people. For others, it's a thoroughly enjoyable experience. One reason flying is frightening for many people is that they haven't done much of it, don't know a lot about it. We humans have a natural tendency to fear that which is unknown to us. I can remember an incident that happened to me once as we were leaving Paris. The plane was climbing to its cruising altitude shortly after takeoff. Then, suddenly, the captain cut back on the power. I knew that the two most crucial times in flying were taking off and landing. The clouds were thick, and to be honest with you, I could hardly see the end of the plane's wing. I'd not flown very much, and I became very scared. I was afraid something was wrong. However, after a few minutes, the captain increased the power again and climbed to the cruising altitude. A few years later, a similar incident occurred as we were leaving Atlanta on our way to New York. As we were climbing, the captain suddenly cut back on the power. We were at about 8,000 or 9,000 feet. He held this altitude for about 5 minutes. Then the plane began a slow banking turn. I leaned over to tell my brother, who was sitting next to me, that something was wrong. After a few moments, the captain announced that we had a wing flap which was not working properly and that we were going back to Atlanta. Well, we circled the airport for a few minutes, time to allow emergency vehicles on the ground to get into position. When we landed, we saw the fire engines and ambulances parked along the runway, lights flashing. The landing was near perfect, and in a few minutes, a crew was working on our aircraft. But you know, during that landing, that emergency landing, I wasn't all that frightened. Had it happened during my first few flights, I would have probably died of a heart attack. What was the difference? Well, I had become accustomed to flying. I knew more about it and realized that the aircraft was under the control of an experienced pilot. My experience and knowledge had taught me that I really didn't have any reason or any major reason to be afraid. Aristotle, the wise Greek philosopher, once said that fear is pain arising from the anticipation of evil. Well, I didn't expect anything evil or bad to happen when the plane landed. I expected exactly what I got, a safe landing. It was Emerson who wrote, "Fear always springs from ignorance." You know, I believe he was right about that, that we fear what we don't understand. There are multitudes of people who fear God. They fear Him because they don't know Him. If they would only make an attempt to know Him, they would soon quit fearing Him and begin to love Him. Well, my fear of flying is gone. In fact, flying has become an enjoyable experience for me. The reason for this change is that I have become more knowledgeable about it. And no person has to fear God either. The more you know about Him, the more you love Him and realize how great His love is for you. And the more you love Him, the more you enjoy Him. It's a good thing for a person to turn his fear of God into love of God.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, folks, we're going to try to get some calls in. That's not going to be easy. The number is 888-589-8840. And if we can, before I have to let Trevor go, we'll try to get some of your comments and questions in. Because right now you are on, my guest, Trevor Loudon, is one of the most knowledgeable people on this subject matter on the planet. He understands the strategies of communism. He understands what's been going on in our country as well as in the world. And so he is an expert on these matters, and I really enjoy talking to him because every time I talk to him, I learn something. Now, Trevor, we were talking about what we need to do in order to, what the left is going to do in order to try to get their way in the upcoming election. You have an idea about the strategy that they are now employing to try to get their people elected. What kind of coalition they're putting together? And of the five candidates you mentioned, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you why I believe one of them will be the front runner, and she's not right now, but I think she will be. So the strategy they're using, and this is why you hear nothing from the Democrats but race. It's all about race. You know, their opposition are white supremacists. Trump's a white supremacist. He's basically a fascist. And this is the rhetoric. Because what they're trying to do is energize the minorities. They have so alienated their own moderate Democratic base with their extremism, they are going into the minority communities who lean Democrat but don't normally vote in high numbers. And they are doing massive voter registration drives amongst these communities and massive get-out-the-vote efforts. That's how they almost won the governorship of Florida last year with Andrew Gillum, who was a Marxist, and almost won the governorship of Georgia with another hardcore socialist, Stacey Abrams. So they're going to run, they're modeling it on the Jesse Jackson Rainbow Coalition of the 1980s, where Jesse Jackson got all the minorities together, plus the radical minorities together, plus the progressive whites. And he got second in the Democratic primary with 7 million votes. But in those days, minorities were about 12% of the population. Now they are 38%. So I believe they will run Kamala Harris because she's the only minority in the front running situation so far. She's half black, half Indian. Her parents are Marxists. She's worked with Marxists her entire career. And she is the protege of a man called Stephen Phillips, a very wealthy Marxist out of San Francisco. He married into a huge fortune, the Golden West savings and loan fortune, but he's always been a Marxist, and he's one of the driving forces behind this. He was the man who gave you Barack Obama, and he is the man who is behind Cory Booker and Kamala Harris. And so I believe they will be driven, Kamala Harris will be driven to the front of the pack, and they'll run a race-based election. And the idea is to win with 51, 52% of the votes, then to legalize every single one of the 22 million illegal immigrants in the country, who will give the Democrats another 15 or 16 million new voters going forward, which will mean that they will take over Texas and North Carolina and Florida and Georgia and Arizona and several other states, and they will effectively have an unbeatable majority going forward. They aim to create a one-party state through racial politics and illegal immigration amnesty. That's their tool. That's their strategy.
Wow. It's a frightening scenario. And Trevor, we've got some callers on the line, so let's take an opportunity to talk to them. We've got Essence from Texas. Essence, welcome. Thanks for calling. Essence, are you there?
Yes. Hello, sir. We can clearly see Satan working harder by his control over people doing his bidding. They are breaking down America by removing everything built by Christianity. Dems are unknowingly doing Satan's handiwork and getting this last Christian nation ready for demonic rule. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling, Essence. Well, communism is certainly incompatible with Christianity, isn't it?
Well, may I address that, Bishop? Because,
go ahead.
Look, the main things they want to use to socialize America will be their Green New Deal, which will basically destroy all industry, put everybody into labor unions, and would make Stalin proud, and Medicare for All, which will put everybody under the control of the state for their health care. But to stop the Christian churches, because they are their main enemy, they've already introduced the Equality Act and passed it through the Democratic Congress, and if that passes, that will make the radical LGBTQ agenda superior to religious liberty. It will mean Christianity, as we know it in this country, will cease to exist, will be driven so far underground that it'll be almost impossible to find. So this is a law that's already been passed through the Congress, and if the Democrats win in 2020, they will pass it through the Senate and sign it off. And that will make it illegal, completely illegal, for Bible-believing churches to operate as they are now. They will not be able to keep, gays from marrying in their church or being leaders of their church or whatever. And Christians need to understand how close this is and how pernicious this is if they don't rise up and vote. You know, Christians are the largest untapped voting base in the country. They can restore the country politically and spiritually if they get up and rise up and do their civic duty.
All right, let's got to go to Jay from Arkansas. Jay, welcome.
How you doing, Trevor? I love all your videos you've done. You're an excellent, excellent source for
communism.
Have you ever seen NWO Communism by the Back Door? Have you ever seen that documentary?
No, I have heard of it. You're talking about the New World Order, basically, aren't you?
Yes, Communism by the Back Door.
Yeah.
That is an excellent documentary. It's about 5.5 hours long. I mean, if you can sit down and watch 2 football games on Sunday, you can sit down and watch this. Very, very important. It talks about the Third Temple and all kinds of stuff. But one thing, you said that Glenn Beck, you remember he connected the dots to the communism and all that stuff? And then
he got a lot of his information from Trevor.
A lot of his stuff came from me, and he used to promote me. He wasn't hiding it, It was, and he got me a lot of donations, I have to say too. So I certainly welcomed his using my work. That's for sure.
Yeah, but remember he had to go on and apologize and cry because he was being called an anti-Semite because he exposed all the Jewish banksters and Jewish organizers that was behind communism from the get-go, from the revolution.
Okay, all right, Jay, that's it. Thanks, Jay. I appreciate that. Folks, let me just tell you, I don't traffic in ethnic identification. I think people of all ethnic groups do great things, and people from all ethnic groups do bad things. And I just don't. We're not going to get into categorizing or characterizing Jewish people in a certain way, and that's what that goes towards. So Jay, call me again sometime with a different approach to this. But I appreciate it.
I would agree with that, Bishop Jackson. Every race has its heroes and every race has its problematic people, every ethnicity, every religion. And, there are good guys in every community and there are bad guys in every community. And that's how we need to judge them by who they are, not who they belong to.
Hey, Trevor, I want to hold you over one more time and ask you to tell us how to get in touch with you. We'll talk a little bit about New Hampshire. Tell us how to get in touch with you, and then I'll let you go. Folks, stand by. We'll come right back to the lines in a few moments. You're listening to The Awakening here on American Family Radio. Back.
You feel under-equipped. You feel like, I don't really know what to do with this person.
Caregivers need a break, and you can help even if you don't think you're qualified. Lisa Anderson describes how on Focus on the Family Minute.
I always would tell my friends when they would come and sit with mom for a night so I could go out and do something, I always told them, if by the end of the evening you have kept her alive, you have succeeded. This isn't about coming in with some massive entertainment program and being awesome and providing medical care and all that. This is just sitting with her, providing a safe space for her, maybe helping her with some basic needs and giving me a break. It is not about being some kind of professional, okay? So you gotta first lay the ground rules of just saying, set the expectations and let these people know that you are doing me a great service by being here.
Even just a couple of hours can make a big difference. More from Lisa at familyminute.org.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
Hi, this is Nancy Wesley, Executive Director of the Pregnancy Care Clinic in Salem, Illinois. J.J.'s helped us set a record for the most funds raised at our banquet.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, we're back, folks. My guest is Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, a filmmaker, and expert on communism and how it infiltrates societies, and particularly how it has infiltrated America. And let me just say, folks, we're not talking about conspiratorial theory. We're talking about facts and information. We're talking about the truth. The number here, once again, is 888-589-8840. Trevor, before I let you go, first of all, tell people how to access your information, how to reach you, how to donate to you, whatever.
Yeah, look, I have a daily blog, trevorloudon.com. And Trevor Loudon is spelled L-O-U-D-O-N. So trevorloudon.com. I also have a website called KeyWiki, K-E-Y-W-I-K-I. And that has over 120,000 files on it of American communists, Marxists, radicals, including all of the Democratic presidential contenders, senators, state county commissioners, Congress members, the whole lot. So you can you probably type in your own Congress member into it and check out their background. So there's that. And Trevor,
you know,
that's KeyWiki online on my website.
Trevor, that's KeyWiki, K-E-W-I-K-I?
K-E-Y, key as in turning
K-E-Y.
The lock. K-E-Y. So K-E-Y-W-I-K-I. KeyWiki.org, but just KeyWiki, KeyWiki will get it for you.
KeyWiki.org. Okay, excellent. They can make donations there as well.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah.
Now, Trevor, we've begun something called the Stand Against Communism Coalition. We just formed a PAC recently as well, and you are a key person in this whole effort. You and I are in New Hampshire together. We're in Manchester right now. We've been to Plymouth. We're going to be heading up to Portsmouth as well, and we've been to several meetings, done a couple of meetings already. We've got a couple more to do. We're planning to not only do New Hampshire, we're working in Virginia, we're planning to go to Iowa, to Ohio, to Pennsylvania, to Florida, to North Carolina, to Georgia, maybe Michigan, maybe Wisconsin. As much as our resources will allow us to do, we're going to do. Folks, so if any of you listening to me right now are in any of those areas and you want to have me and Trevor come and talk to a group of people about this issue, just get in touch with us. You can get in touch with us through the radio program here, or you can get in touch with me at standamerica.us. You can call us at 757-375-6444. We'd be glad to come. Now, Trevor, you've already talked a little bit about the connections that these candidates have to communism. I want you to go ahead and explain to people a little bit what we're doing with Stand Against Communism.
Well, recently on Fox and Friends, Donald Trump Jr. said that the 2020 election will be communism versus freedom. So the administration understands this. Trump's been very clear fighting against socialism, and it's a winning issue. But many of our conservative people, much of the media, and certainly most of the voting public, doesn't really understand the depth of this. So we are going to go into these battleground states, these early primary states, set up networks so that the information we have on these candidates, and we've got extensive background information on Biden and Buttigieg and Booker and Harris and Warren and Sad Bernie and all these others. And so people can put it out on social media. We can put up billboards. We can get on local radio shows. And as they come through these states, they have to confront the charges. They have to, their communism, their Marxist connections will be exposed all over the state, and they will have to face up to them. So therefore, the media will have to cover it, and the wider American voting public will understand they're not voting for the Democratic Party of Harry Truman or JFK. They are voting for actual Marxists. And when they understand that, they won't do it. Or they'll do it in much smaller numbers. So we're taking advantage of the fact these guys have to come through, these men and women have to come through these primary, early primary states. And we are setting up networks now to basically make sure they cannot get through without answering the charges, without formally answering the charges against them and signing a pledge to disavow communism, which they won't do. But that will be very telling within itself.
Now, folks, Trevor and I can't be in every state doing this as candidates come through. What we're seeking to do is raise up an army of grassroots activists who will take care of that in your own state, in your own region. But we are happy to come and encourage and motivate and arm you with information that you need in order to get the job done. So again, if you would like us to come, call us at 757-375-6444, and we'll begin the process of getting set to come to your battleground state. And I want to also say, Trevor and I are speaking for ourselves and for Stand Against Communism. We're not speaking for AFA or AFR. They are nonprofits, but we are speaking as individual American citizens, and thank God I have the freedom on this radio network to express our personal opinion about what is going on in our country. And of course, the lines are open for people to call in and agree or disagree. So Trevor, I know what you're doing around the country, man, and America's glad to have you. We'd love to have you as a citizen, and I trust that will happen one day, Trevor. But keep up the good work.
I'm at the point I can apply now, so I'll be doing that soon.
All right. Well, Trevor, listen, thanks for taking time to join us. We appreciate it. And look, I will be seeing you tonight.
Yes, I look forward to it, Bishop. It'll be
all
great.
Right.
And
God
thanks
bless
to the audience for listening. It's you're a great bunch of patriots, and we all need to be in this fight together.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much, Trevor. All right, folks, that was Trevor Loudon. Let's see. I don't want to not get your calls in, but I've given you the number. We've only got a few minutes. I've got about 4 minutes to take any phone calls that you might have. But let me say a couple things to you before we run out of time. Folks, I am committed to making sure that these minority people that Trevor just talked about are being manipulated and used by the left and by these communists and socialists, that they understand constitutional principles, because frankly, they're miseducated or indoctrinated. They don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand its beauty. They don't understand its sustainability, how this is the most successful governing document in the history of mankind. They don't understand any of that. In fact, people of all ethnicities in our country, unfortunately, don't understand that for the most part. But we're going to make sure that these minorities that are being used and manipulated do understand that, so they understand the gift that they've been given to allow that they were born in and live in the freest nation in the history of mankind. I'm a product of that freedom. Every person in this country is a product of that freedom. Then the question becomes what we do with that freedom. But freedom is certainly far preferable than having the heavy hand of government tell you what you can and cannot do, what you can and cannot say, what you can and cannot think, which is exactly what most people around the world today live under. And frankly, what most people lived under until America came into being. And secondly, I'm committed to making sure that free market economics is understood. Folks, it's not perfect. The free market is not perfect because there's nothing perfect in this world. But it is the very best by far of all the means of distribution of goods and resources. It is the very best by far. It is the fairest. It is the most equitable. And it is, shall we say, the most accessible. Because no matter who you are, the right idea, the right invention, the right innovation, and you find your way into that market providing people with something that they want, and you get rewarded for it. That's the way it works. That's the message we need to be taking to our poor people, our young people, our minority people, being told you're victims, you can't make it, they won't let you. Those are all lies, folks. And I am proof positive that they are lies. Because you have heard me talk about my background, born into a broken home, raised in poverty and foster care until the age of 10 years old. But because of the blessing of living in the United States of America, I've been able to make more of my life than any person born under those circumstances almost anywhere in the else in the world would have been able to do. And then lastly, folks, and I say this with tremendous conviction, we have got to inform people of who President Trump is. I really believe this. President Donald J. Trump is one of the best presidents this country has ever had because he comes at a critical time in this nation's history, and he comes with a critical set of skills and abilities and proclivities, which are exactly what is needed to deal with what we are confronting today. He is a no-holds-barred, take-no-prisoners fighter. And folks, given what people are trying to do to our country today, we need a fighter. We've got to have somebody who will tell it like it is and won't mealy-mouth and genuflect and back down and back off and apologize and, you know, all this stuff. I've been hearing it from too long from both Democrats and Republicans. Of course, Democrats are completely off the rail. But Republicans often, when they should be showing courage, instead show cowardice. This president is no coward. And we don't need a coward in the White House. We need a courageous fighter in the White House. And that's exactly what this president has done. And every person needs to understand that this president is, every person needs to understand, this president is fighting for you, for every American, regardless of your skin color, regardless of your economic situation. He is fighting for every single American to do well, because I really believe in his heart of hearts, that's what he wants. And folks, I'm going to keep carrying that message all across the country. I'm going to carry it everywhere I can, including right here behind this desk at American Family Radio. So listen, God bless you. Pray for us. Pray for our country. Pray for me and Trevor here in New Hampshire this week. But I'll be back with you again tomorrow to report on more of what's going on here and to share other things with you. So God bless you. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.